Let's open up our Bibles here this morning. Oh, we're going to the Old Testament, the book of Deuteronomy, the fifth book of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And we're going to go to chapter 18. And this was the fifth and final book of what the Jewish people called the Pentateuch. And I'm going to start at reading at verse number 15, and I'm going to read through verse number 22. So Deuteronomy 18, 15 through 22, do you have your place? Let's say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand while we read God's word here from these Old Testament scriptures. Starting at verse 15. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own brothers. You must listen to him, for this is what you ask of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, let us not hear the voice of the Lord our God, nor see this great fire anymore, or we will die. The Lord said to me, what they say is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers. I will put my words in his mouth, and he will tell them everything I command him. If anyone does not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name, I myself will call him to account. But a prophet who presumes to speak in my name anything I have not commanded him to say, or a prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, must be put to death. You may say to yourselves, how can we know when a message has not been spoken by the Lord? If what a prophet proclaims in the name of the Lord does not take place or come true, that is a message the Lord has not spoken. That prophet has spoken presumptuously. Do not be afraid of him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I pray here this morning that the words of this scripture from this book will just penetrate our minds and our hearts here this morning, that our minds will open to the truths that you want revealed to us through this scripture. And Father, I pray that the words from my mouth and the meditation of my heart, it will be pleasing to you. And we ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Today, we are going to continue in week number 9 in our sermon series on the spiritual gifts. We started this way back when, and we've had a few interruptions here and there, and we're going to get back on it, and we're going to be completing this here in a few weeks. We've covered the 12, what I call, ordinary gifts, and we are moving on to the spiritual gifts of the miraculous nature. The gifts that are in focus of the miraculous nature will be healings and miracles, prophecy, and tongues and the interpretation of those tongues. And today, we're going to focus on the miraculous gift of prophecy. Next week, we'll cover one of the other gifts, and then the final week, we'll cover the last one. It looks like I'm going to do miracles and healings next week, and then tongues the last week, and then we'll end this series and move on to something else. So, real quick review, because it's been a while. What have we learned? Well, I'm not going to cover everything, but we learned in one of our previous studies that there are two views of these miraculous gifts. One view, that of a continuationist, says that these miraculous gifts, these three, still continue today. Therefore, the term continuationist. The second view, that of a cessationist, believes that these miraculous gifts have ceased when the apostolic age ended somewhere around 100 AD. Therefore, since they believe they have ceased, they are called cessationist. I am a cessationist, so therefore I'm going to teach from that perspective today and over the next 2 weeks. So let's move on to prophecy. Well, Mike, didn't you say early on that the spiritual gift of prophecy was one of the 12 ordinary gifts? And if you're asking yourself that question, that's a great question, because I did conclude that in that as one of the 12 regular gifts. But I'm going to answer that question, well, yes and no, because I said prophecy comes in two different flavors. The ordinary gift of prophecy is to speak forth the word of God as has already been proclaimed by the word of God, as we read here in the Bible. For instance, if I would say, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall never perish but have eternal life," then I would be speaking forth the truth of God's word, because it is written here in the word of God. So in that case, I would be a prophet. The gift of prophecy, especially for a preacher or a pastor or someone in my position, usually accompanies the gift of teaching, as the word of God is carefully taught by someone who has those two particular gifts. But that's not where our focus is going to be today. I'm going to focus on the other flavor of prophecy today. And this means to foretell the word of God. And in particular, I'm talking about those today who claim to have a new and fresh revelation from God. So the question now becomes, here, we're going to ask a series of questions here and answer each of them. So the first question now becomes, does God still speak to us today? And the answer to that is, yes, he does. But I need to qualify that answer and use the proper terminology and use scripture to back up that qualification. Let me give you a for instance. A Christian is seeking employment, and he receives three different job offers, and he does not know which one that he needs to take. So, being a good Christian man that he is, he starts praying about that. Lord, which one should I take? And after some time, he gets this overwhelming answer that he needs to take job number one. Well, it's not uncommon for that man to say this. Well, God told me to take job number one. And I'm sure we've all done that. I have done that. That God told me to do this. But let's look at this theologically and biblically speaking. Really, what happened in that situation? The correct response would be this, is to say that that person was guided by the Holy Spirit to make that choice as a result of his prayer. Just this man, as always, and I'm sure that you have had this too, just had a peace about the choice that he was to make. Well, the Bible does instruct us to walk by the Spirit, and that would be Galatians 5:16. It tells us to be led by the Spirit, which is Romans 8:14. And it tells us to live by the Spirit, Galatians 5:25. And we all know that every Christian, every born-again believer, has the Holy Spirit residing within them to give that direction. And even in John 16:13, Jesus says that the Holy Spirit will guide us. So the Holy Spirit, out of one of his many, many, many duties, he is our own personal GPS giving us direction within our lives. So in that sense, we should say, yes, God does talk to us, because the Holy Spirit is the third person in the Trinity. Amen? He's just as much a part of God as the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. But even that's not the miraculous gift that I'm talking about and what people are claiming that they have today. What are they claiming today? They claim that God actually speaks to them just as he spoke to the prophets of long ago. They claim to be receiving new and fresh prophetic revelations. And they are so bold in these new revelations and prophecies, by after they are given these revelations, to say this, "Thus saith the Lord." And because God is doing this miraculous work through them, They have claimed the name of modern day prophets for themselves. Now, as with any biblical belief that we may have today, it's only fair that we do and look at the history of how these things began. So let's turn the clocks back to about 1980, and it hasn't been that long ago, about 35, 36 years ago. There was a movement that started in Kansas City, Missouri. It was led by a group of men who called themselves the Kansas City Prophets. And some of the main prophets and or leaders within this movement include names like Paul Kane, Mike Bickle, Bob Jones, Rick Joyner, John Paul Jackson, and many others. And Bob Jones was the visionary of these prophets. He was kind of like the leader of these leaders. And he was said to have been especially anointed with supernatural visions from the Lord and a prophetic gift. So these prophets were a group of men that congregated around a church which became known as the Kansas City Fellowship, which was pastored by one of these other gentlemen whose name was Mike Bickle, B-I-C-K-L-E. And this movement started attracting a following of other like-minded churches and like-minded people in that area. And Mike Bickle founded a group that you may have heard of. It's called IHOP. Now, I know what you're thinking. It's not the International House of Pancakes. That would be something else. But he did found something that was called IHOP, the International House of Prayer. So they claim and they say that God was spearheading a new revival from their churches. It was going to start with them, and that he was restoring the office of prophet. They claim they could hear from God and speak forth God's words and the prophecy of great events soon to transpire on planet Earth. Bob Jones, who was the visionary, the leader of this group, of these prophets, and the one said to have been especially anointed with supernatural visions of the Lord, was quoted as saying this. Now remember, he's the prophet of prophets. The general, and I quote, "The general level of prophetic revelation in the movement's prophets has an accuracy level of about 65%. Some prophets were as low as 10%, with some of the more mature prophets having a rating approaching 85 to 95%. I hope you are thinking the same thing that I'm thinking. And if you're not, let me help you understand what's wrong with this picture. There are several things that I find a little skeptical about that statement. And remember, that statement that I just read you does not come from me. It comes from their own president of their own organization. So I am not making these numbers up. They say that these prophets average 65% accuracy, and they will never claim that any one prophet is 100% accurate. So it should lead us, just based on that, should lead us to conclude a few things. Remember this, all these prophets are claiming that they are receiving direct revelation from God himself. So let's do a little bit of biblical research. What do we know about God? Well, we know a lot of things about God. The Bible has revealed a lot of things. We know this, God never lies. We know this, God never changes. We know this, God is perfect. We know this, God is omniscient, which means God knows all things. We know this, God has ordained the end from the beginning. We know this, God cannot make a mistake. We know this, his counsel is always and always will be absolutely perfect. So I must conclude that if these modern-day prophets are hearing directly from God, they should be hearing absolute truth. They should be hearing perfect counsel. Amen? Because God cannot and will not lie, and he can never give false testimony. So if God is given one of these prophets a direct revelation, and it does not come true, and it does not come to pass, then God is giving false counsel. God is a liar. But how can God, who never lies, who never changes, who is perfect, is omniscient, who knows all things, who has ordained the end from the beginning, who cannot make a mistake, and whose counsel is always perfect, give false counsel? Easy answer. He doesn't. He does not. He can't. It is against his nature to do so. So, false counsel from God cannot be the reason these prophets are only at 65%, as high as maybe 95%, and some as low as 10%. So, let's ask the next question. So why are these modern-day prophets only at 65% and sometimes as low as 10%? I'll give you a really great answer. Because they are not hearing from God. So who or what are they listening to? Well, we know who they're not listening to, because their accuracy level would be 100% if they were listening to the true God. So that leaves the door wide open for them to be hearing from anything and everything, any conceivable source of information, including Satan himself. If they were truly hearing from a perfect and holy God, what would be their percentage of accuracy in their prophecy? 100%. Thank you. But they're not. They're as low as 10, and on average 65. Beech Grove, let me tell you this. I believe we could be 65% accurate. Okay? I really do. We could be 65% accurate about saying something about a future event. Listen, even if a prophet is 99.999% accurate, that is not good enough. If you are truly listening to a 100% perfect God, then your prophecies would be 100% perfectly accurate. But they are not. Did you know that one of these Kansas City prophets recommended to many people in his church to make a certain investment, and people lost millions and millions and millions of dollars? Based on what God was telling him to tell the people. In our scripture reading earlier this morning, there was a severe penalty for false prophets. And what does the scripture tell us that penalty was? Death. Death. What is the penalty for these modern day prophets if they give a false prophecy? Nothing. Nothing. Nothing at all. Mike Bickle, one of the modern day prophets and the leader of IHOP, the International House of Prayer, offers no excuses for this inaccuracy, and he continues the support of the whole modern day prophet movement. He was asked this question by an interviewer, and this is on the internet, on YouTube. You can watch the interview. The interviewer asked him this question. Should prophets be disciplined when their prophetic words don't come to pass? And Mike Bickle answered that by saying this, and I quote, "I think if you miss it, You must have the integrity to acknowledge it. You get up on your platform and say, I blew it. End quote. Two words in that statement that I'd like to just talk about. He says this, I think if you miss it. Think. The discipline should be biblically based and not in what somebody thinks should happen. Jesus says this in Matthew 16, that to be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And in Matthew 15, he tells his disciples to leave the Pharisees alone because they're blind guides. And when the blind lead the blind, what happens? They all fall into a pit. Leave them alone. Go away. Go somewhere else. And he says, I think if you miss it. Another word that he says in his little rebuttal, integrity. You must have the integrity to acknowledge it. You know, the best integrity that a quote-unquote modern-day prophet could ever display would be that when he or she gives a prophetic revelation, they would say this, well, this is what the Lord told me, or thus saith the Lord, or I had a revelation from God and he told me to tell you. You know, if they would just stay away from those words and just say something like this, you know, I think we need to go in this direction. I could buy that. I think, well, let's pray about this. I think we need to go in this direction. But they don't say that. They say, thus saith the Lord. And I had a revelation from God, and this is what he told me to do. But do you know what is more amazing than the fact that there's modern day prophets who are only 65% accurate? That there's thousands and ten thousands and hundreds of thousands and millions of undiscerning people who still continue to follow these false prophets. That's what's amazing. Undiscerning, the operative word. How often do I talk about discernment or the lack of discernment in the church? I'm going to read from 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And Peter's talking about false teachers. Actually, most of the chapter is about false teachers. I'm just going to read the first three verses. Peter's telling this to the readers. But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their shameful ways and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with stories they have made up. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping. Now that sounds prophetic. That sounds like something that is happening in, if you want to call it, church today. These prophets only want to control people by using their power of manipulation through deception. And many undiscerning minds are being manipulated and they're being deceived and they're following a path of destruction. You know, John chapter 10 tells us when Jesus is talking to the people, he says, I am the good shepherd. And you know, he is the good shepherd. Amen? He wants to lead his flocks into greener pastures. I believe, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that God has brought me into being a preacher / teacher / pastor to help bring and shepherd a flock into greener pastures and not leave you hanging dry out in the desert. I don't want you to be hanging out in the desert or following people that I believe are false prophets. And I take that responsibility very seriously. I'm going to end with this. Has anyone ever heard of the prophetess Dana Muldoon? DanaMuldoon. If you have internet and you can get on YouTube, look her up. Also look up Dana Muldoon with her tent revival with a gentleman named Scott Rodriguez. I'll just tell you real briefly what happened. Scott Rodriguez is a pastor of a Calvary Chapel church, pretty biblically based church. I like Calvary Chapel for what they preach and teach. Dana Muldoon came into town and set up her tent revival across the street from his church. And there were some words exchanged. Well, Pastor Scott Rodriguez decided that he would go on over and attend the revival. He kind of wanted to make peace with Dana and know that she could do her thing and he's going to do his. So she calls him up on the stage and she puts her hand on him and starts prophesying that he's going to do wonderful things. Thus saith the Lord, he's a man of God. Thus saith the Lord, he's going to do this for the children. Thus saith the Lord. And she's saying all these things. Thus saith the Lord. And he says, may I just say a few words? And she says, sure. And she hands the microphone over to him. And he says, in so many words, you got to watch the YouTube video. We need to pray for this lady because she is bringing some very sinful things into this area. And what she's saying is sinful. All of a sudden, Dana Muldoon's prophecy about this man changed a little bit. He became a devil and not a man of God. And all of a sudden, all the things that she said when she said, thus saith the Lord, 5 minutes later, she's rebuking him and calling him a child of Satan. I'll let you decide about modern day prophets and prophetesses. The Apostle Paul warns us against false teachers. We see that throughout all his epistles. So does the writer of Hebrews, Peter, John, Jude, and Jesus. And I must too. Please, Beech Grove, do not be deceived. Test the spirits. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 says this, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Is what is written in this book, is it sufficient or is it not? You need to make that decision. I've made that decision. I believe in sola scriptura, by the scriptures alone. I don't need any new revelations, any new prophecies. Everything I need for salvation and the way of holy living is revealed to me right here in this book. It's that simple. Remember, we do not live by sight, but we live by faith, the word of God. The only time your pastor, which would be me, will ever say, thus saith the Lord, is when I'm reading the words out of this book. I promise. Let's go to God in prayer.